He's been with us before. He's a great person to have. He knows all that's going on in the minor league system when it comes to the Chicago White Sox. He is Kurt Bloom, the voice of the Birmingham Barons, which is the Class AA White Sox affiliate. And he's also the well-rested Kurt Bloom, because I understand, Kurt, you had a rainout last night.
Yeah, we did. So I had about a half a game, a half a night off. And at this point of the year, with such a grind, guys are running to the bus like, yeah, we don't have to be here till midnight. So it was pretty cool. And then even a few minutes ago, I wasn't sure if I was awake until I heard Woody's car commercial. I'm like, now I'm up. He's full of passion and energy. In fact, I think I'm going to buy a car when this interview is done.
Please do that. We'll get us more advertisers if you keep buying it.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what reminds me, you just mentioned about the rainout. Was it Bull Durham, the one where they went and they sabotaged the field, turned the sprinklers on so they can get a night off? I always wonder how realistic that is when you get the grind of minor league or major league baseball. Major leagues obviously can't do that, but the minor league ball where you could do something like that just to get out of getting an extra night's rest.
Well, we've had the last couple of days. We're in Pearl, Mississippi, which is a suburb of Jackson. And I could just tell by our body language, the guys are definitely tired. And when I talk about a grind, I think it was 45 days and we had one off day, scheduled off day. And I don't care if you're Superman, you're going to get beat up a little bit. And they were really, really excited doing the rain turtles and just the thought of having a couple of innings off. So what we do tonight, we'll pick up that suspended game. We will play 9, then the second game is 7, and then we bust back to Birmingham tonight. So anything that they could get, they're pretty happy about it because, look, it's also very hot, very humid. You're playing every single day, and it was something that they needed mentally and physically, the way they carry themselves. And we've been playing well. I mean, you talk about a team that zipped up to first place until the rainout last night cost us a half a game in the standings.
So how long is that bus trip back tonight?
This is an easy one. This is 3.5 hours, and it is the same time zone.
and that's an easy one, and that's what people just don't get about the minor leagues.
It is
just a lot of sleeping, in chairs late at night.
Hey, Kurt, we're coming off, obviously, the trade deadline, and I didn't expect much action regarding the White Sox, per se. But you did have a little bit of movement there. You guys, through that White Sox deal of Joaquim Soria, acquired Cody Medeiros, who is now playing for you, was playing with the Biloxi Shuckers at one time. Tell me a little bit of what you know about Cody that you see him against him, and now he hasn't pitched yet for you, has he?
No, he did last night.
Oh, he did last night, okay.
A whole 5 hours worth before it started raining. I talked to him. He was doing his bike exercise afterwards. I said, were you glad to get a break of sweat? He goes, I was definitely a little bit more amped than I usually was. And anytime you can pick up a left-hander who can win and throw strikes, go ahead and do it. You know, I mean, we were talking about this, and I've been with the organization for a long time. It's not very common that your minor leagues will benefit from something that happened because your big league club was selling. Mm-hmm. And we directly benefited from that deal, as you mentioned, with Soria moving to Milwaukee, and they sent a pretty good guy. This is a former number one pick by the Brewers, and already had success in this league. So we're anxious to see him and unveil the new toy, but the rain got the best of it last night. It, like I said, just got 5 outs, a little amped up, a little. He was able to post zeros, but yeah, I think he wanted even a little bit more. I think what we're expecting is a guy who keeps the ball low in the zone, gets a lot of sinkers, which plays well at Guaranteed Rate Field. They look for guys who could get ground balls instead of a guy who's going to try to make a living up in the zone. He's going to try to make a living down in the zone.
And it seems like this year, too, because I was following his progression. I'm a Milwaukee fan, so I'm following his progression. And he was drafted out of high school. So there's a lot of a learning curve when you're coming straight out of high school. And for those that don't realize that, it almost looked like he was going to be a bust. But you got to give him time. It seemed like this year he seemed to have figured out. He really was coming around this year. His numbers were better. And there was rumblings about them using him. Milwaukee was going to use him as a lefty out of the pen, but they kept him in a starter. And his starter numbers looked pretty good. And obviously, based on last night, the Sox see him as a starter as well.
Yeah, and you make a great point. And first of all, 15 of his 20 outings were starts. Five of the other ones were out of the bullpen. And I looked at his ERA and studied his stuff before we went on the air. And, you know, the numbers will tell you that he has not been pitching like a number one. But the body of work that we saw in a very, very brief time, and the fact that, you know, there's always something about a number one. Remember, when he was drafted, there were only 13 guys in America, that's high school and college ball, that were chosen ahead of him. So there's a pedigree. There's a blueprint there, although the numbers didn't match at this time. But again, at his age and stage, he would be maybe a junior or a senior coming out of college with all this experience under his belt. He seems in a very, very brief outing that he's got a good rubber arm that, you know, you're not looking at a 98 and then you got to worry about shoulder issues or anything along those lines. You know, it was low mid-90s, good movement, and just studying his stuff and then seeing him with Biloxi, he made one appearance in relief against the Barons while he was with Biloxi. And it's kind of interesting because his new teammate, Matt Rose, hit a grand slam off of him. So we had to separate their lockers. But that being said, he recovered from that inning and that grand slam and posted all zeros after that. But I think you hit on the head. I think that this is a guy who is about to mature and about to turn the corner, and I think this is going to be a pretty good pickup for the White Sox with very, very little to lose. You know, long time ago, the general managers in baseball figured out, why have a closer if you're not finishing games, if you're not closing games?
Right.
And just keep churning them out. Billy Beane of Oakland was one of the first, and I remember Dave Dombrowski, when he was with the Marlins, kept saying, I don't need a closer if we're not closing games. So, you know, and again, the White Sox took a flyer out on Soria, and now they turned him into a pretty good left-handed young pitcher. Wonderful deal, good scouting.
Now we're talking with Kurt Bloom, the voice of the Birmingham Barons, the White Sox Class AA affiliate. Another relatively newcomer to your team based on call-ups has been Dylan Cease, and he's been quite the addition so far for you. I see he's 2-0 with a 2.34 ERA, and that most impressive fact, 49 strikeouts in just 35 innings, and top of that, 13 walks is also. Dylan Cease has kind of become everything he's been advertised to be.
And then some.
Yeah.
And I've had Kopech. You know, I got to be careful with my comparisons. But I will tell you this, at this stage, and I'll be careful and I dance around it, but at this stage, and Michael was here last year, Dylan's ahead of him because of his off-speed stuff. And that's a pretty, pretty heavy statement, but this kid already comes with a curveball and a slider built in and a really, really good changeup. Now, the changeup was the pitch that Kopech learned when he got to Double-A and has used it a little bit more in Triple-A. But Dylan is a polished product, and I'm telling you, when we talk about Eloy, and they're in the same trade. What a trade that's going to be.
Okay.
And just recently, it depends on who you talk to, but boy, there are a lot of Cubs fans that are saying we might have made a mistake. They understand the Aroldis Chapman deal, and they got a World Series out of that. Okay, And that's the ultimate goal. But this is going to be a hard one. I know Jose Quintana is reliable. I know he's a steady pitcher and a part of a big league rotation. But you're talking Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease in the same trade. That's quite a capture, if you will, for the White Sox. At this early stage with Dylan, you know, just watching him, watching his maturity and how he handles himself, I'm not sure what more is left. And that doesn't mean he's going to go into the rotation. He's still young. He's still about a year off of his Tommy John surgery. No, actually a little bit more than that. I'm sorry. He had that high school then going into the pros. But he's fought some other injuries, but he looks so good right now. And I'm sure you saw this. He lit up Twitter not his start here in Mississippi, which was 2 days ago, but at our place, he retired the first 20 batters in a row. Mm-hmm. And it was really exciting. He had a perfect game. Not only that, it was just absolutely thoroughly dominating. The swings were terrible against him. The command, everything was there. The breaking ball, changeup, everything was perfect. just got a little tired at the end, gave up a hit, a walk, struck out 12 to end this, and then we took him out after seven. But really an exciting prospect. And here's what I would recommend. Next time he's pitching, go get your MILB and watch this guy, because it's something special right now in the minor leagues.
Real quickly, Kurt, we're closing in on time, but I want you to give me one or two more guys that have really been performing for the Barons so far this season, maybe whether a prospect or kind of an unknown, but who are some of the names that we should keep our eye on?
It's funny because a couple of them that we talked about earlier, they're already up and doing well. Ian Hamilton was the one guy, I remember, if we hold back the tape, and he keeps doing it up AAA. But the next two, they come built in, and I listen to the teammates. I don't try to make my own forecast, but Joel Booker, the outfielder who spent 2 years at a JC out in Iowa and then finished at the University of Iowa, he has played an exceptional left field. Luis Visabe, who hit the home run in the Futures game, right now scouts have told me with his speed and his defense, he could play in the big leagues as a fourth outfielder. That's right now, and he's only 21. Wow. And then the other outfielder, Alex Call, who's got a lot of things that he can do, and went to Ball State, really good sense of the strike zone. So this has been this trio right here has been really good. Now, let me quickly get in a couple pitchers, Jimmy Lambert and Bernardo Flores, who have made us so much better than we were in the first half. Those names, they got to wait because they're not on that blueprint. They're not on that Baseball America top this, top that. But they're pushing their way there. And I tell you, the key for those guys, Lambert and Flores, they both throw strikes. And they're going to be a really, really good reserve if some of the other guys do not pan out. Lambert right now nursing an oblique, but he was really, really doing well before he got hurt. Flores is an absolute strike-throwing machine out of Southern Cal. Fun to watch. Fun. It's been a fun second half.